to the official podcast of FCS Fans Nation with your hosts, Kyler Neal, Matthew Frazee, and Jamie Williams.
FCS Fans Nation, my cherry Coke did not pop tonight. Welcome to the FCS Fans Nation podcast live this evening. Jamie Williams, Kyler Neal, Matt Frazee throwing a little wrench in the plans from a product of circumstances, a little bit of work travel on my end. So our editing capabilities are downgraded a bit, which means we're going live through this entire episode to get this sucker out to you on time. Because we had such an exciting Saturday of FCS football, we want to get it out to you Sunday night so you can listen to it for the rest of the week. Thank you so much. We have live viewers coming in. Comments are flowing. Already 35 eyeballs on us, Kyler and Jamie. And boy, oh boy, Jamie Williams, what another exciting week of FCS football. You, my man, are rocking some Taco King homecoming Amos gear along with the Incarnate Word Birds. How you doing tonight, my Duke friend?
Doing all right. A little tired. Just got back from a hockey game. My own hockey game that I tried to play in. We didn't win, but that's okay. I'm back here with my boys. Like I said, I got my NCAA and t-shirt, my Incarnate Word hat. You know, usually I wear only gear of somebody who won this past week. Neither of these teams did. So that's a little bit big. We're live and I'm already screwed up. Football is bigger than just the game. And that was the FCS Fans Nation, because this brings people together. So celebrating the two schools that kind of reached out and brought a couple of bison to them. And you've got Matt, Kyler, and I who all corners of the country, and we enjoy hanging out with each other. So that's what the page is all about. That's what this is all about. So glad to have you all with us and come on through all of my mistakes.
Yeah, this is great. No edits tonight. We rarely have any, but sometimes we get a few mutes here and there, but we'll see how it goes. The reality is that this week really is predicated off of what you said, Jamie. It was a week of connections, it seemed like. Taco King going to NCAA&T. We saw people posting, getting together at games. And I have to give a huge shout out before we get this sucker rolling to the FCS poll guys, Zach and Andrew and Neil, the Incarnate Word folks who hosted me. I'm down here in San Antonio area for some Air Force training right now. And I reached out to them, be like, hey, I'm going to buy a ticket. I'm going to go to the Incarnate Word game with Nichols. And the next thing I know, I'm getting blown up via group text of like, hey, you can come to my place for supper. We'll come drive and pick you up. You come to church with us tomorrow. Don't pay for anything. They got me a media pass for Incarnate Word. They introduced me to their AD. They gave me permission to break FCS breaking news, which I did on Twitter last night. Beautiful facilities, amazing people, and the whole experience, besides the fact that I cursed Incarnate Word, and I clearly am the person who causes them to lose games, so I don't know if I'll be invited back. I just want to give a shout out to humanity and great people. They were absolutely amazing. And as Michael Davis is saying, I am officially banned in the entire state of Texas.
Good.
Because, yeah, I have not served them well, but shout out to those guys. I truly appreciate you all, and I really appreciate you hosting me. If you don't know what I'm talking about, check out our Facebook page and Twitter. So that being said, guys, let's get into some amazing questions. We had not as much chaos this week, but we did have a lot of fun. And the best thing we can do is kick into the most important things people are caring about right now.
The top seven FCS topics of the week. This is the Big Seven.
This episode, so of course we can throw some fan comments on the bottom. Appreciate you, over 50 viewers with us right now, which is amazing. Reminder folks, we will be live next Sunday as well for the official mock playoff special. It's that annual episode. I keep hammering it. That's where we are going to predict the playoff field and give you a good idea of who you should be looking out for on Selection Sunday and what the resumes look like. So that being said, we do appreciate our sponsors, of course, Walk On Apparel and Versus Sports Simulator. But let's start with the title of this episode. I put some Star Wars effort into the YouTube thumbnail. Kyler, Jamie, the Grizz, The doubted Grizz, as the fans would say, continue to roll. We had a lot of questions about them. Joshua Hoffman, Cody Werlinger hit us with these. Is Montana a two seed if they win out? It's crazy how we had started to write them off after they lost to NAU. And Joshua Hoffman says, rank Montana in the top three. Prove me wrong. I don't think you're going to get a lot of doubt there, Joshua. Kyler, the Grizz eviscerated Sac State. Amazing game for them. How are you feeling about them as they might be in a driver's seat for that two seed?
I mean, if they win out, it'd be hard not to give them the two seed. Right now, I still have them behind Idaho in my own poll. But once they win out and they have wins over Sac State, right, convincingly, and if they beat Montana State, there's not a win Idaho has on their resume that would be better than what the Grizz had. Worst case scenario, it'd be the exact same, because I don't count Nevada as this amazing win. So, yeah, I mean, the Grizz kind of they're controlling their own destiny. If they win out, I mean, the next 2 weeks, that's going to be interesting. Portland State is a little like, they're not great. They're not good even, but they can get people. They can catch people off guard. They got a dynamic quarterback and that's about it. But then Montana State, that's, you know, the Brawl of the Wild. That's going to be the game pretty much has been circled on every single Montana fan's calendar every single year. And it looks like it's even going to be more important this year. But I don't know how you would not give them a two seed if they win out. Again, who would have a better resume than them? They would have what? Three top 10 wins. Win over Idaho, they would still have the bad loss with NAU, but when you start racking up those types of wins, the bad loss kind of gets thrown to the side. So, yeah, I would give them the top two.
And when you think about actually the NAU loss, I saw this, somebody posted on the Facebook or the Twitter page today. I apologize for not giving you the credit. NAU, yes, it's a 3-win team, but they said it's not like it's Northern Colorado. At this point, I will give them a little bit of credit. Like for NAU, like they only lost to UND barely. Like they lost to Sac State barely. And like, you know, the FBS lost. So at the end of the day, it's starting to, they can win the next two NAU. And then that's a 5-win team. So I know Kyler doesn't agree with me on that. But Jamie, how are you feeling about the Grizz? The problem with Jamie is that he is very biased towards Montana. He loves that team. Ever since the Dukes moved up, that's his squad. So try to be unbiased, Jamie. Do you think Montana is the two seed? What do you think?
Probably, but I could also make an argument for Furman because Furman's going to win out and they're going to have zero FCS losses. So they don't even have a Northern Arizona loss on their schedule. They're still going to have a couple of ranked wins. Montana will have, I believe, four to Furman's two. So will they give Furman the benefit of the doubt for the two seed there? So there's going to be an argument for Furman and there's an argument for Montana. Either way, I think they're the 2 and 3. So it's just a matter, and it's a big, big decision because Furman traveling to Washington Grizzly or Montana traveling all the way across the country to South Carolina, it's a big deal. That's going to be a big deal. But Montana still's got to beat Montana State first. I think they'll have a great shot at it. We can talk about it next week. But right now, I mean, Furman has a better, more clear path right now to finishing unbeaten against the FCS. So right now I'm going to say Furman's a two. But, yeah, Montana has every opportunity to get there as well.
Kevin Marshall, you do realize I had Furman at number two last week in my top 25. So suck it, bud. Love you.
I love it. The thing that we have to think about a little bit, I know last year was a committee disaster in terms of a lot of things that came out about it. You know, I was so convinced with data and close strength of schedule and ranked wins that Sac State would have been the one over South Dakota State. And it in fact did not go that way. So strength of schedule will be pretty glaring, I think, between Furman and Montana. But the reality is I think I could see Montana getting that bump over Furman just because, especially if they win against Montana State at the end, one bad FCS loss, I think the Grizz are probably going to be your two seed. So The reality is that they're playing really, really well. And despite how they looked early is not how they look now. We've had some really rational Montana fans echoing that on our page saying, listen, we didn't look good right away. Ferris State wasn't great. But now we deserve the credit. We couldn't agree more with folks who are kind of thinking that way. So,
yeah, I mean, and you got to take a look at what Montana's done. They've changed personnel, and that's a mark of a good team, a good coaching staff. God, I hate saying that, but that's a mark of a good coaching staff to make the proper adjustments throughout the season. I mean, Vidlak wasn't very good, and Clifton McDowell has been, and then they've got Ayat as well too. So I think, you know, Montana's completely heading in the right direction, and whether they get the two or the three, they're going to be a tough out. Not that they're going to Frisco or anything, but they're going to be a tough out.
And their defense, which was already good in the beginning of the year, is only looking better. Like they could be peaking at the right time. We'll have to wait and see.
Yep.
It's all going to be predicated off of Montana and Montana State, because I was talking to this with the FCS poll guys last night. People forget that Montana State was like the guaranteed two seed in 2021. They got beat in the Brawl of the Wild the last week, put them at the eighth seed, and they had to go on the road to Sam Houston to get to Frisco. But boy, if you got to go to Wa Grizz in December and they're the two seed and they get the rest and that defense is at home in that environment, there's virtually nobody I'm picking to go in there and almost get that victory. And it's going to be interesting to see how it goes. Teams that might have to travel to the Grizz, Cody Werlinger, Matt Bernhardt, and Dustin Helton all asking questions about the Word, Incarnate Word, and the Southland. Of course, the guy who cursed the birds is here on this podcast. And Nichols ends up going down there and getting the victory to have a chance to go secure that Southland title in the next week or two. So here's the thing. I watched that game obviously live, and it's kind of cool to actually be able to see these things in person and be more close to them instead of the national perspective. First, a lot of credit to Nichols. That run game and offensive line, very impressive. Incarnate Word had no answer. They were doing the simplistic run stuff up the middle. Nichols, very impressive. Also, some of the best cornerback play I've ever seen in my life. Those corners were on the wideouts perfectly. Every deep ball, they did not grab, they did not hold. But the Incarnate Word guys, they couldn't get any separation. So the real question here, though, that's being asked is, how far does UIW drop after losing to Nichols? Top 20, or are they all the way out the top 25, says Cody. And if Nichols gets the automatic, is the Southland a two-bid league? So there's the questions. Kyler, I know you're not that guy, but I'm very interested in your perspective here on the Southland and Incarnate Word.
Man. Yeah, Incarnate Word's kind of throwing a monkey in the wrench. Southland, it's probably one of the worst conferences. I don't even think it's fair to say probably. It is one of the worst conferences outside the NEC, the Pioneer. It is so bad this year. And Incarnate Word looked like they were in the driver's seat until this game happened. I don't see how they're going to be a playoff team. I get the committee may, but you're looking at, even if they win out because they had a game canceled, they played North American, which I don't even think is a Division II school. So it's an NAI school or something. But, I mean, they'd be looking at 7 Division I wins if they win their next game, and that's going to end the season. Really weak strength of schedule. This is probably the only top 40 team that they have actually played, and then they lost to. I mean, I had them at 19 in my poll. I don't think they're definitely not going to be in my poll this week. The committee may just keep them in because it'd be one FCS loss. But again, I don't know how you're given with their strength of schedule, with the wins that they have, and struggling even with those wins, a 7 Division I win team from the Southland, the second bid. I mean, they're hoping that Nichols State drops, you know, a game or two. Did they already have their game played, or do they still have two left? Because I know
Nichols is gonna play Lamar, and then they've got Southeastern Louisiana to end the season, and that's so the rivalry game on a Thursday night.
So Nichols still has two games, where Incarnate Word only has one more because of the cancellation. Right. So that's where maybe if Nichols, I mean, Incarnate Word's going to hope for Nichols to lose the next two so then they can get that auto bid. But I don't know how you're going to put two Southland teams in, especially from the conference this year. It's pretty rough.
Yeah, this is it felt as I was talking to Zach, it's like this stinks for the Southland because, you know, credit to Nichols. But like if Nichols gets in, And then if a team that has 8 wins is not allowed into the field, it's just a bad look overall. Jamie, what's your thoughts? Are you going to keep Incarnate Word in your top 25? And then are you thinking that they won't make the playoffs? You know, we're going to figure this out next week when we do our predictions. What do you think?
Yeah, I had them at 17. I know Kyler just said 19. I don't see any way I can keep them in right now. It's just I haven't seen anything good from them. Yeah, I mean, I get wins are wins and your record is what you say. But when you're talking about resumes and like people pay attention to how you look and they haven't looked good. I mean, winless McNeese took them to the wire. I can't, after losing a game, I can't keep a team like that in. It seems like, oh my gosh, they lost one and you're going to bump them out. Yeah, they just don't look good. And I don't see any path to the playoffs, but for the reasons Kyler mentioned. But I mean, I've been wondering where Colin Guggenheim was the last couple of years, because as a freshman, he had a great year. Showed back up yesterday. He's had a pretty good year. That Nichols team might be a little under the radar. I know 4-4, but I know 2 FBS games and then a couple of tough ones down the road that they lost out of conference. So I don't think they're going to really scare anybody in the playoffs, but they'll get somebody a game if they can keep things going. But that Riverboat Classic at the end is going to be tough.
The words reminded me of McNeese just, you know, a while ago when they went 9-2 and still missed the playoffs because they had a Division II team on there and nothing was that impressive with any of their wins that they had. This is just kind of reminding me of that Nichols team. They could get in. They'll be a bubble team and they're going to hope for chaos. I just don't get it.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how it goes. Nichols, I will say this. If Nichols lines up against a team that doesn't really know how to stop the run and can't run themselves, I'm going to pick Nichols in that matchup. It was very impressive to watch them play. And yeah, 2 FBS losses, and it kind of stinks that they've been so under the radar because they played a really good, clean football game yesterday. So it was fun to watch them play. Sorry about the birds out there. And Lamar's not out of it yet either. They're 4-1 in the conference, so if they somehow pull up an upset, we'll make one of those predictions on the Versus Sports Simulator segment.
Yeah, they've got to beat Nichols and then have Incarnate Word lose to Houston Christian.
That's right.
Incarnate Word did win that game.
100%. So there are some things that could happen in the Southland, and we'll have to see how it goes for everybody next week. So that being said, oh, how the mighty have fallen as we roll into some NDSU Bison discussion. So here's the thing, gentlemen. Nobody was shocked by what happened realistically down in Brookings, right? South Dakota State. They're a top tier above everybody else this season. It appears so. And they absolutely put a butt whooping on my NDSU Bison. Thankfully, I was having a good time with the Incarnate Word folks instead of watching the majority of that awful game. But here you go. Ben Fugan and Mitch Fargan had some comments here. Ben first said, "You guys have repeatedly said the 2018 Bison would handle the Jacks. Maybe they would, but could you dive a little bit deeper into that?" And he was saying NDSU didn't look as bad as he had heard. Not as bad as a whole. Their defense played pretty well. If they make their way into the playoffs, he can see them making some noise. And Mitch wants to know, why are people still ranking NDSU after UND? UND has looked terrible ever since that NDSU game. So long story short, there's a lot of questions here wrapped together from Mitch and Ben and others about NDSU. What do you see out of this team in a hypothetical where, let's say, they pull off the victories in the next 2 weeks? Because we could just spend here all making the same point. Well, we'll see what happens with Southern Illinois and you and I. Let's just say they win them. Let's say they're 8-3. They're playing on Thanksgiving weekend. What do you expect to see out of NDSU if they're in the playoffs, realistically? And Ben, in terms of the Bison talk, I think 2018 actually is a good comp. The one that I've been pounding is they're not as good as NDSU 2013. And I'm going to wait till the whole season's completed. I'm going to actually put up a stats comparison there for you. And maybe the Jacks are close. We'll have to see. What do you think, Jamie? NDSU makes the field. How they're looking now, how are you feeling about the Bison?
I mean, you just said assume that they win the next two. If they win the next two games, they're going to get a seed because everybody's just like falling off. If they beat Northern Iowa and Southern Illinois, that's two more ranked wins. Or two ranked wins, which would give them 2 ranked wins, which would give them an 8-3 record. Chances are that might be the 8th seed this year.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to go grab it. Like, as of right now, is Austin Peay the 8th seed?
Right.
Like, think about that. if the season ended today, I think Austin Peay might have an argument for a seed, and you would not have thought that at the beginning of the season. So if NDSU wins the next two games, they're a seed. They're probably the eight. They're probably going to Brookings for the quarters, and they're going to get stopped. But let's say they get the seven. I don't know that anybody else would want to play a playoff Bison team. They'd want them in their building. But, you know, this Bison team is a different team. It's not as good. So let's see if they actually can get a ranked win before the end of the season. Because right now, they're 22-22 Montana. They beat the teams they should and lose to the rest of them. That's what they've done right now. That's my comp. And people raise holy hell that Montana got in at the end of last year. I don't think anybody's going to raise holy hell if NDSU gets in, because they're going to – if they could win one of the next two, they're going to get in. And, you know, they probably should, but the bubble is going to come down to their name's going to get them in no matter what. And they've shown enough. You know, they got a win over Central Arkansas, who's been ranked, but they do not have a ranked win this year. So there we go.
Yeah, they have to absolutely show up and beat SIU this next week. And I know I said move past it, but SIU and you and I, with the way NDSU has played, those will be extremely competitive, close, good matchups. So there's no guarantee the Bison get out of that winning both of them. They lose them both, they're out of the playoffs at 6-5. They win one of them, they're 7-4, and they're playing on the first weekend. I don't know. I think there'd have to be a lot of chaos for NDSU to be an 8 seed with 3 losses, but the way things are stacking up, I guess it's a possibility. We're going to get that into that a little bit more in a different question. Kyler, how are you feeling about the Bison? Because I got to say, I've seen a lot of South Dakota State fans that I think they're finally recognizing how good they are. I'll take a jab at them because they seem to just try to act like they're humble, but they shouldn't be. We know you're that good. But they actually did, besides some offensive calls and like the motion and flow and the 2-minute drills of NDSU, they were more complimentary than I thought. So how does that speak volumes at all to NDSU if they face anybody but the Montanas and South Dakota States?
I mean, if I'm not the South Dakota States and Montanas, I don't want to face NDSU, especially in this hypothetical that you just said they beat Southern Illinois and Northern Iowa, right? Those are going to be two top 15 teams. So if you're looking at the playoff field, if NDSU just beats those two teams and they're going into the playoffs, yeah, if you're not Montana State, Montana, South Dakota State, or Idaho, you do not want to see NDSU. Even if you are those teams, there's still that stigma of NDSU. You don't want to see them. I mean, even if they're a first-round team, they're traveling the whole way, I don't know if I'm a seed who would be super excited getting a down NDSU team coming to any of our venues, right? I would be pretty pissed if that is my first game as a seed. And again, NDSU's down. It is what it is. They haven't looked great. They've pretty much lost all the good teams that they've played so far, and lost kind of bad. But it's still the stigma of NDSU. Who would want to play them in the playoffs if you're not South Dakota State? If you're not, maybe, I think Montana State's pretty excited if they would get you guys. But again, would you rather play NDSU or Furman, who I have ranked number two right now? I mean, if it's the playoffs, I'm still probably picking Furman. I mean, it sounds weird because NDSU is probably going to be closer to my 20th than my two. But if it's playoffs, I probably would still rather play Furman or someone from a conference champion from one of these other conferences than NDSU. I mean, yeah, that would make me nervous as shit.
Yeah, F you, Kyler. F you. And no, that's not. And for all of you who are going to report me to the whatever police, no, that's a promotion towards those great Furman football players. So love me some Furman. What do you think, Jamie?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that's also just NDSU's name. I know they've got some skill there, obviously, but I don't want to play Furman if I'm one of those teams. Furman looks great. Furman looks awesome.
Like, I agree.
I don't know. It's just, you got to go off of this year, but it's hard not to like think about what's happened in the past for that Bison over and over like that. So I think you've got to think about it for this year, but it's as hard as it is. They just, I know they can beat people. Don't get me wrong. They can go on the road and beat somebody not in the Valley. And maybe that shows how good the Valley is above everybody else too. I don't know. We'll find out. But I think right now I like I like Furman.
NDSU.
I've been doubting them. So, Kevin, send me the link. Alex's Lemonade is staying $25.
Yeah. NDSU is 2018 James Madison, guys. And that I've said that for a few weeks now, and that's probably how it's going to play out in the playoffs. There's glory, there's lore to the name and everything else, but the product on the field, the coaching on the field, it's just not that great this year. So we could spend all night talking NDSU, but something we need to discuss hands down, and Jamie, coming your way, is the CAA, because Delaware, the team we thought could hold up the Flow Sports Conference, goes and loses to Elon. Freaking Elon. So here we sit, and Steve Kurtenbach and Mitch Fargan had some questions on this. With Delaware losing, who's making the playoffs from the CAA, says Steve, and no team from the CAA should be top 10 or seeded this year, says Mitch. First off, shout out to RIP, my wife and I's first dog, Charlie, Great Dane. So I have a soft spot for Albany. Shout out to Albany. And we better mention them a lot in this segment, because those boys are rolling, looking good over William and Mary. But I'll give you the floor, Jamie. What are you feeling about the CAA and how they're playing right now? Big matchup this weekend with Richmond and Elon going up against each other.
Yeah, that's an elimination game, I think. I still think the same thing I thought about the CAA at the beginning of the season. There's not a quarterfinal team there, but there's a bunch of teams that can play in the first round. Elon's just been the ranked team killer. A couple of them weren't ranked when they got them, but I think Delaware's still going to be fine. Albany's damn near a lock. I think that's pretty solid there. Richmond, if they win, they stay in there. New Hampshire's probably done. So I'm thinking, well, we'll answer later. There's a CAA question later. But the one thing I do want to say is if you – screw you, Helton. Happened once. Worry about your 0-4 team in conference, bud. Just threw me off the whole damn thought. But if you look at the ranked wins by conference, Valley and Big Sky, far and away, but CAA is next. They've got 9 ranked wins among them. So it's still a good conference. I mean, you can see that. Look at all those 5-1. That's ridiculous. But that's the CAA. You're going to have a crap ton of teams that are going to have 7 or 8, maybe 9 wins, and 3 of them will get in. I think 3, maybe 2, maybe 4. Well, it depends. A lot to play out. But, yeah, I don't think anybody's, like, stepping up to take it. But, yeah, I got a couple of elimination games coming up here over the next 2 weeks, obviously. So we'll see how it plays out. Albany could – sneak into a seed, 9 wins potentially, if things go crazy.
I think the CAA has a really big opportunity to take away positions from this idea of 7 Missouri Valley football teams now. I think the way things are shaping up a little bit, they might come in as they've just been the discounted, we used to call it the Big 3, right? I mean, I think they've got a real opportunity to come in and make everyone go, what? This team? I don't think even us have paid enough attention to what it is, because look at the overall rankings. You know, you get to that 7 wins, you've got a shot. And Delaware 7-2, Richmond, if they win, they'll get to 6, they'll get to 7-3 with another week left. Villanova, Albany, I mean, there's, you know, there's strength to schedule arguments, there's competition arguments, but just like the SoCon and those teams' abilities to get to those 7 wins, I don't know, man. I can see this conference getting 3 playoff teams. Kyler, how do you see the CAA right now?
Yeah, I think you need to get 8 wins in the CAA to get in the playoff this year. I don't think a 7-win team is going to do it, but I mean, just looking at the schedule, it's almost like they have 3 locks that are going to get to 8 wins: Albany, Villanova, and Delaware. And Albany, they had what, 2 FBS losses? Villanova lost to what, UCF? And then Delaware's looked good all the way up until this week. Yeah, it's safe to assume you're going to at least have 3 playoff teams out of the CAA, but when there's only 128 FCS teams and 115 of them are in the CAA, right? You're going to get a few teams.
All of averages, yeah.
And I get it. Jamie says, you know, look at all these 5-1 teams. But look at all the teams at the bottom, right? A whole bunch of shitty teams too.
Yep.
So it's really unbalanced scheduling. And we always make fun of the Big Sky, the Missouri Valley in the past for, you know, having more teams than the SoCon and having unbalanced scheduling. This is just a completely whole different ballgame. especially when they're also on the East Coast buying wins from the easiest conferences in the out-of-conference. Not everyone, not NCA&T, not Maine. Some of these teams are playing some pretty decent programs, Delaware, right? But overall, it's pretty weak schedules in the out-of-conference, so you're buying wins, which is smart. But then when you have these unbalanced schedules, like, I don't think if you're a CA team, you can hope for the 7 wins and get into the playoffs like you used to be able to do in the last 15 years. 7 wins just doesn't cut it. I think you really need 8 wins when you're talking about the CA. So, yeah, I think they have 3 locks. I would go with Delaware, Albany, and Villanova right now. And potentially maybe a 4th somewhere if some chaos can happen. But I really don't see more than 3.
Yeah, just the comment that Zach just said there, because Delaware obviously seemed like a top 5 team. William & Mary was still in the top 5 when Elon beat them.
Yeah.
And that's like, and if you listen to Sam Herder's conversation with Ken Haslam, they said it's where they were at the time,
which is so stupid,
which sucks. And I can see both sides. So think about a win against UC Davis early in the season. Sucks. They're probably a ranked team because Leon Larson was there, right?
He's back and he's still playing.
Without him, they won this past week. So it's stuff like that. So it's hard. They should kind of, I don't know, hybrid, think about it. Like, look at it both ways and see how those teams have progressed.
No, Jamie.
It should matter.
No. Ranked wins at the time is the way to go. Because if it's the other way around, me building the mock playoffs special, which will be next Sunday, live, is a complete disaster.
Good plug.
Is it a lot easier for me to build the agenda and resumes if it's just ranked wins at the time? Of course, a little bit of a joke there to end it. Hey, some shout out to some fans since we are live for this episode. Before we get to the last 3 questions, the Big 7, we got Zach from the Blue Bloods on here. If you guys don't subscribe to the Blue Bloods, you are absolutely crazy. One of the best FCS outreach folks out there. We got Thumper out here throwing out some hilarious comments from what I've been reading. Chris Matthews, our good Govs fan, is up here. Ron Lowney, and I'm sure I'm butchering your last name, Ron. Ron single-handedly upholds our YouTube channel. I wake up on a Tuesday or Wednesday morning. I've got 9 notifications, and Ron has commented on 9 videos on the FCS podcast. So
love it, Ron.
Every single one of them.
Keep it up, buddy.
Ron's one of my favorite people, and of course, the Rev, Dustin Helton, UAC out there. So just a lot of really good people joining.
Thank you, Rev, for texting me saying it looks like I got a boogie. That is a lighting. I had a check. I brought up my phone. That is not a boogie. I promise you guys, that is just lighting because I got 2 different lights on 2 different sections trying to bring out that glow in my face. But I appreciate you looking out for me, especially on a live episode.
Yeah, well, you rock that SFA hat. He's going to look out. So, guys, Mitch Fargan, Mitch, you had a run this week. We always seem to have one fan who gets a run of great questions every week, and Mitch is this week's pick. He says, if the Missouri Valley has 7 teams with 7 wins, should all of them get in? Looking at the rest of the conferences, it's hard to not take all 7 from the Missouri Valley. Neil and Andrew were giving me a ride back from the Incarnate Word game. Actually, we were on our way to Walk-On's, Drew Bruce's restaurant. We were going through the scenarios with that. He's like, do you really think they'll get 7 in? And it was really tough. So I don't know if they're going to get 7, but 6, I think, is the real question. I'll get the standings pulled up here in a second. What are you thinking, Kyler? You know, top of the conference, not that guy and crew is up there, but what do you think about the Missouri Valley?
Like I said in the preseason, the Missouri Valley was going to be hands down the best conference, and a lot of Big Sky people yelled at me for it. I said the Big Sky would regress, Missouri Valley would pick it up because, you know, they were improving. But yeah, the 6 teams is a lock. The crazy thing is I never even thought we'd have a discussion on the possibility of having 7 teams in. But when you're looking at kind of everyone's schedule in the last 2 weeks, it's hard to not think that you're going to have all of those 7 teams hit 7 wins. And I just said with the CA, you probably need 8 wins to get in. And it's because of all of this Valley. They play a tougher strength of schedule. But I'm almost to the point where if you play a Pioneer League team, that should not count as a win. I really don't think so. Give me a D2. Give me a D3. They're all better. I don't care. The Pioneer League stinks. So, YSU, I'm looking at you, Penguins, and I've been rooting for you. But again, since you had a pretty weak out-of-conference schedule, a normal 7-win program, you're in 100% of the time if you get to the Valley. But with seven bids, and you have, you know, potentially an Incarnate Word who could steal a bid, right? You have three, four teams from the SoCon who are really good. You got the CA who looks like they've locked up three. The Big Sky looks like they're going to lock up, you know, three to four teams as well. Having seven in there is pretty tough to fathom, even if all seven deserve it. Shit, you may have eight deserve it. I mean, you're looking at Illinois State. If they went out, I mean, that's impressive. But I don't know. I feel like there's going to be one seven-win Missouri Valley team that is being left home, even though they're probably one of the better teams in the playoffs. And there's going to be a team who would definitely lose to them that makes it. But I don't know. I'm starting to think maybe this, you know, easy scheduling by some of the top-tier teams is not the way to go right now when you keep adding all these conference members, because your normal seven wins is probably going to put you on the bubble where the last few years, if you get seven wins from the Valley, you're 100% in almost, unless, you know, one of those wins is a D2 program or something like that. So I don't know. Six is a lock. It's crazy that I can even picture seven in there, because seven would probably be deserving. But yeah, dude, I don't know. Seven is I'm 50-50.
Well, they're going to learn about it. Everyone's going to learn about it if they haven't been paying attention enough. But correct me if I'm wrong, gents. You got 10 auto bids this year, right? You only get 10 because of the combination of that Big South OVC and the UAC. So you got 10 auto bids, which leaves 14 at-larges. So you get that extra team that can come in as an at-large. And just doing a breakdown of it, South Dakota State obviously isn't in. South Dakota, with that win over SIU, they beat UND and they're going to kill Western Illinois to end it. They're going to be a seed. So South Dakota is going to be in if they beat UND. So let's say UND loses, but then finishes to get the seven wins. You know, they got that win over NDSU and they have not looked great. So they're going to be fringe, but there's an argument. Northern Iowa and Southern Illinois, you have to see what happens against NDSU. And Northern Iowa is playing good ball, and I'll end up on a playoff trailer with them because I thought that they would suck and stink this year, and they just did what UNI always does, and up they come. And Youngstown, I mean, Southern Illinois, there's so many options there. I'm with you, Kyler. I think six is going to be like a lock, especially with that extra little at-large team that we're going to have. So, Jamie, the way the CAA is looking, though, and the way the Big Sky is, can you see that six team that we all think is going to be there actually not getting it? How do you feel about this with the Valley?
No, I do feel like six looks good. I mean, I would say South Dakota is probably a lock right now.
Mm-hmm.
At seven wins, they're 7-1 against the FCS. They have three ranked wins. That's good enough right there. Put them in. All they can do is enhance their record by going and beating who's in North Dakota, and then they've got a cream puff. That's a seed. That's a team looking like a seed. So I feel like six teams. I don't see. Youngstown State has to beat South Dakota State. They've got to get to eight. I don't like Kyler mentioned their schedule. Illinois State, even with two wins, not going to have the strength of the ranked win. There's no way for them. The rest of them, like I said, I mean Northern Iowa, they probably got to win out. Their game against NDSU was going to be for a playoff game.
Hey, I have a question for Matt.
Yes, sir.
Because, Matt, you've never felt like this. You're right now on the bubble with two really tough teams coming up next. How confident are you feeling? Because since I've met you in 2016 when we were going back and forth all season on the Facebook, regular NCAA site, North Dakota State, Eastern Washington, and then, of course, Jamie's team out of nowhere just beats the shit out of everyone. Who cares?
They work out of nowhere.
But since that, I have never seen you maybe on the fence. And again, Southern Illinois is not a slouch team. Then you got Northern Iowa, who looks like they're peaking finally at the right time. What happens to NDSU? Are you feeling confident? Are you scared? Are you just hoping you don't make it so then there's no pressure and then you can go, well, at least I didn't lose in the playoffs?
Listen, here's the thing. Call it a loser's mentality, whatever it is. But this – first, I'm going to go back a little bit. I told the Incarnate Word guys all day yesterday, I was like, you would have done me a real favor winning that semifinal game last year so I don't have our only loss in Frisco being to the Bunnies. You that would have been a benefit because we weren't going to go down there and beat them. So
blame the refs.
Yeah, I will. I'll blame the refs. Now, let me say this. Here's where my confidence factor lies. the game of South Dakota and SIU yesterday gives me very little confidence that NDSU is going to go get murdered by their rival, and that the locker room, if the locker room is totally turned and coaches and players are just out of it, then that's the only thing that I think is going to stop NDSU from winning against SIU this coming weekend. I think NDSU rebounds, plays a really good game, and gets SIU with that not a good loss to them with South Dakota. I know South Dakota is a good team, but SIU is just so inconsistent. I have no idea who's going to show up. At least NDSU is consistent of what you're going to get, and I still think they have the talent to win at home. The UNI game gives me very, very – I have a lot of pause there, because going to UNI, as any South Dakota State fan or any other fan of the Valley will tell you, that can be a death sentence. And they're playing good ball right now, and they'll be on their playoff life support. So I would say confidence meter to beat SIU, very high. Confidence meter to go on the road to UNI, ooh, 50-50, man. That's going to be – that'll be an interesting game. So, but I don't want to spend too much time on NDSU. I will say this. My one goal this year, besides NDSU winning another natty, was to not lose to SDSU in Frisco again. And that's all but guaranteed. So that's a good thing.
Probably Brookings.
Yeah, probably Brookings. So here's the thing. Let's talk a little bit about seating, because Andrew Markham, my gracious host, amazing friend, fellow service member, love you, Andrew. He says, should all the seeds at the Missouri Valley Conference and Big Sky and one to Furman? Seems like no one else is up to the gumption to stand up to the task of staying top eight. Gumption, I had to think about it. I'm Cajun now that I ate some of the food there, Andrew. I don't know if gumption is a Cajun word, but Jamie, should all these seeds go to the Valley and the Big Sky, or are there Austin Peay and others who deserve to be involved here?
I mean, I could definitely cop out and say, let's wait till next week. but I mean, I think Furman is going to get a seed. So that's the other one. I still think Albany, if they went out, has a chance at a seed. I almost think Austin Peay, the way they're playing, maybe at 9-2 has a shot at a seed, but that's probably about it. So it could be, it very well could be. A lot of chaos actually did happen. Look at it, my top 25 from last year, six of my top 15 lost. Now, four of them were to other ranked teams. But we talked about it a few weeks ago, just nobody's like kind of stepping up and making that play that they want to take it. And it's not a, you know, nobody wants to win. Of course they want to win. It's just there's a lot more equality in the quality of the teams this year outside of South Dakota State. And I think that's what we're seeing. And I think right now two plus the others, let's see. I'll answer better next week.
Yeah. Next week will be a lot of fun, but let's go with the breakdown a little bit before you can jump back in, Jamie, if you want. Let's just say some guarantees. Let's just hypothetically. All right. Montana, good job. And South Dakota State, you're the top two. Let's say they beat Montana State. Idaho is going to finish it out. All right, there's your three seed. South Dakota beats UND this weekend. Boom. They're the five seed. Sorry, I discounted Furman. Furman finishes it off. They're a top three seed. So there's five of them. So there's your Furman. Then you got all Big Sky. You got all Missouri Valley. And that's when you start to get into the, okay, who's next? All right, let's say Montana State maintains even with a loss and they keep them in there. You can kind of see the top 25 rankings on
would
the FCS stats.
Would they be 8-3 and losing to...
That's the thing, is they're going to drop to eight games. So is that where, if Austin Peay, and they've got to beat Central Arkansas, unless I'm mistaken there. Are we looking at teams with three losses, or are we at the point where we're not giving enough respect to the one loss, two loss teams? But who are those teams? Who are those teams? Everybody has a lot of weird losses this year. So I think
it's Albany with a bullet right now for to take the other spot.
Albany and Nova.
Yeah. There's a lot. Zach's exactly right. Albany's got two FBS losses.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they were close in both of them. They mm-hmm. darn near had a couple of two, both of them. And like you said, they get an extra game. So they're going to probably have nine wins unless they trip up. And it's the way the CAA has been this year, they'll probably trip up.
And their only loss was on the road at New Hampshire, which is a kind of a weird place to play, too.
That is a dog crap place to play. Trust me.
Yeah, Northeast, really far. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit interesting. I don't know. I think there's only six seeds this year, and I think the committee's only going to give six, and then they're going to give Harvard one, and maybe screw it. Let's just give Davidson one. Yeah, there's actually been so much chaos, and there's a good chance you're going to at least have 1-8-3 team, maybe even 2-8-3 teams that grab those last seeds. I think there's probably 4 or 5 teams that are a lock right now that you can just look at the upcoming schedule and, you know, safe bet. Not saying that that bet's going to work out, but probably have a safe bet that these teams are at least going to win out, get a seed. But then the other three, who the hell knows? We'll know more next week, hopefully. Maybe there's a few more losses that will really, like, just narrow it down. But there's not 8 seed-worthy teams. Or is there 15 seed-worthy teams? Who knows?
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Look behind South Dakota State, Idaho, Montana, and Furman, and, you know, those other three are a tier below. And then there are 12 to 15 teams that are from 5 to whatever that is when you do math, because I don't feel like it right now, 5 to 18. Anything can happen over the next 2 weeks. It's going to be crazy, and I hope we have a better look next week, because we're going to look real stupid.
It'd be so much easier if the SWAC champs and MEAC champs got to play in the playoffs. So you'd be looking at 2 seeds right there. FAMU.
I was going to say
NCCU. They would be seeds, the 7 and 8 probably. So yeah, it's going to be real weird.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah, Kyler, you stole it from me, and that's totally okay. Intercepted NC Central and Florida A&M.
It's because I'm drinking your margarita. It tastes delicious.
Attaboy.
12.5% in this bad boy.
Ooh, beautiful. No wonder you're flowing so well tonight. Yeah, those the SWAC and the MEAC definitely could nab some seeds this year, but their best teams, like commonly, will go to the celebration poll, and that's a fun game to watch too, and not going to knock them at all for pulling that stuff off. That being said, guys, last one of the big seven. We'll roll here for Jamie. Mr. Tim Rath, great fan. He wants to know a short list for the Buck Buchanan Award. So we've kind of had these the last couple weeks. Who's, you know, for Eddie Robinson? Who's in line for Walter Payton? It's time for the Buck Buchanan. Who should we be looking out for this stats award?
I'm just going to give you a couple of quick names. Right on the top of my list is going to be Terrell Allen of Tennessee State. The guy has 24.5 tackles for loss and 14.5 sacks, or 13.5 is one of those two numbers. That's absurd. And his tackle for loss yards are 144. Also, Billy Schaefer of Lafayette. He's the next guy up there. I personally value tackles for loss and sacks way more than just individual tackles. Because as you kind of scheme things up, a lot of teams scheme for their middle linebacker to be the guy that fills that gap and get a lot of tackles. So a lot of times that doesn't impress me. There's not a lot of guys with big interception numbers. I mean, you could be looking at a Cole Wisniewski, NDSU getting some look there, because he's got I think 3 or 4 interceptions, and he somebody's taking one back, and I don't know that it was, I don't think it was him. But yeah, I mean, just the Terrell, however you pronounce it, he is just dominating people right now, and that's where I'm going. Somebody's got to play better than him.
And that's what the Blue Bloods, Mr. Zach, is saying. He's giving you a fire emoji, man. He's saying the same thing. Dustin Helton says that Allen's been insane this year. Nick Malone, PJ for Buck Buchanan. PJ's been a monster this year, too.
Yeah, he's a great player.
And Tyler Jennings.
Up there.
Yeah, Tyler Jennings is mentioning Jason Freeman as a name as well. So
Jacob Dobbs looks really good for Holy Cross.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of options out there. And Allen is kind of where you're itching right now, huh, Jamie?
Yeah. Right now, that it's funny because my votes tend to go to HBCU players for that award, and it's not intentional, but they just always have a guy from the SWAC. Or I mean, Tennessee State's playing great. They unfortunately lost to Chuck South this week. How the hell do you have that happen, Eddie George? But you know, they have some dominant players.
Yes, they do. They got some good players out there. It'll be fun to see who gets those awards. And, of course, Jamie, the hardest working stats voter in the game, will be a part of that. We appreciate Craig and others letting him be involved. It's a lot of fun. So Gentlemen, that is a great big seven. We've got over 70 viewers still with us on Sunday at 8:50 at night. Y'all, just appreciate the heck out of each and every one of you. So
950 out here.
We can't 950 for Jamie. We can't feed all you guys, but maybe we can involve you a little bit in our famous taco bet.
Taco King, coming to you from bright and sunny Fargo, North Dakota. It's time for a taco bet, and time for you losers to pay up.
I love it.
Just love having Brian be the voice of the taco bets. He's the original, the OG. He enjoyed a homecoming with Amos, said he had a great time for the Aggies of NCAA&T, even though they didn't come up with the victory. But that being said, guys, it's taco bet time. Here we go. We were already on this topic. Over or under 4.5 Big Sky and Valley teams that are seeds for the playoffs. And we've got teams like Austin Peay. You've got teams like Furman. You just mentioned Albany that all could take away opportunities for these two conferences. So that being said, there seems to be right now, there could be one outlier. I'll toss it to you first, Kyler. What do you think? Over under 4.5 for these seeds?
Well, I think Montana State's probably going to beat Montana at the end in the brawl. I don't know. That's a close game. But let's say there's going to be three seeds from the Big Sky and one for sure lock already from the Valley with South Dakota State. Yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to take the over. We just mentioned kind of the chaos. South Dakota, I mean, the two South Dakota schools could probably get a seed, and then that puts it at 5. Yeah, I'm going to go with the over.
Going with the over. Jamie, what do you think? Over under 4.5 Valley and Big Sky teams.
Yeah, I might have had to think about this at 5.5, but yeah, solid over there. I think we definitely got 5, maybe 6.
Darn it, messed up the over-under. God dang it. Well, Seth Meyer, credit to you. I believe Seth had it at 5.5, and I switched it to 4.5.
Why would you switch it?
I don't know. I just thought it was a better rate. Yeah, this is why I shouldn't work in Vegas or anything. Seth,
man,
I
owe you. Texas got to you.
I owe you tacos, Seth, because I suck at my own job. 4.5. I'll take, I better go over two since I butchered this taco bet. That's okay. I'm not in my homestead. That's all right. Okay, so Valley Big Sky teams across the board. Brian, we'll have to pay you tacos if it actually ends up going under. So that does complete our taco bet. Let's roll into some remaining questions, some of my favorites coming up.
Just because your question is answered quickly doesn't mean we don't care. These are the quick hit questions of the week.
Ready? Quick hit questions. Definitely my favorite segment. And we're going to start it off with a little bit of fun. Like everybody knows, we answer everything and anything if it is in the quick hit questions. And Mr. Joshua Hoffman, he had a question earlier. He's got us, what's your favorite seasoning / spice? Mine is Danny Johnson's Slap Your Mama he got me. Yes, Joshua, Danny Johnson from Southeastern Louisiana, big fan of the Lions. He sent me that same hot sauce. I haven't actually cracked it open yet. It's sitting on the back in my studio out of respect.
Scared.
Yeah, and I am scared as the FCS poll guys found out. I can't handle spice. But Jamie, what about you, man? Favorite seasoning, favorite spice?
It definitely depends on what I'm having. I mean, on a steak, I'll do a garlic butter or a blue cheese crust. If I'm doing ribs, you know, or pork, obviously I've got certain rubs. I like a habanero rub that I make with habanero powder, and I mix in some other stuff that's my own recipe that I mess with. So I like to make my own stuff most of the time, but anything with a nice spice kick to it, I'm good with. I love a habanero flavor.
You're a real man. If I get into the light yellow on Buffalo Wild Wings' menu, I start to sweat, you know? That hair that's not on my chest starts to perk up a little bit. So my favorite spice is, I don't know, as keep it blah there, Joshua. Is that, what do you think, Kyler? Yourself? You're down in Texas, Arizona area?
So I'm like Jamie. I got different spices for different types of meats, right? So if I'm doing a steak or a flat iron, something like that, there's a black truffle. I know, sounds fancy. There's a black truffle, Parmesan garlic, like seasoning. You mix it with your butter, have a little compound butter. It's delicious. But then my other go-tos right now, I forgot the brand, but there's a Chipotle hot honey that is just absolutely fantastic. and then I'll go with, you know, a more basic bitch route. There's a chili garlic Traeger seasoning that I put on pretty much all of my pulled pork, my brisket, all of that type of stuff. It's delicious.
That you might need to bring some of that to Frisco, my man. I would not oppose to a good meal like that. Guys, Mr. Steve White says, which teams are doing the best job using both their COVID eligibility while also giving reps to younger players? Steve, I believe you're an SDSU fan, and I think this is a setup for your team because I have to give that credit. Thumper was just telling me yesterday, they did a great job of utilizing their defense is so strong because they rotated so much and they knew those eligibility years were there. So SDSU really has game planned well, and it speaks to their culture with all those six-year seniors that are back. I mean, the Yankee twins and others, once they announced they were coming back, I think all of our ears perked up a little bit that SDSU is going to be back and they're going to be for real. So Jamie, Mitch Fargan says, how many CAA teams make the playoffs? He had a 2.5 over under. How many actually should? What do you think? That's kind of a hard line for a taco bet.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now I'm leaning towards 3. They could get a 4th depending on how things fall. I mean, it says how many actually should, plus or minus a half. Sorry, Mitch, you're not paying attention. CAA is not that bad. They don't look great, but they're not that bad, as we talked about earlier. They're going to get 3 or 4 teams in, and they're all going to probably lose their first game. But that doesn't mean they don't deserve to be there. I mean, 8 teams lose the first weekend, and they're going to be half of them. And that's just the way it is.
They'll get a Pioneer League team, an NEC team, and then a big South. Well, then
they'll lose. Yep, and they'll lose to one of those. One of those teams will lose to one of those teams. But like I said earlier, 9 ranked wins for the CAA is 3rd behind the Valley and the Big Sky. Southern Conference has 7 ranked wins. So that's where I look at it. I mean, we know they puffed up their schedule, but they've also beaten ranked teams, which could, I know, be a product of the puff schedule. I got it. And I know William & Mary's in there and took a couple, but, you know, so was Weber State. So was UC Davis.
Yep, good comps right there, my man. Hey, I'm going to throw this one in here. Nick Malone says, Big 8 guys, can you talk SIU real quick? I'll throw this one at you, Kyler. This one wasn't on our script, but what do you think about SIU going into NDSU and they're just losing this game to USD 14-7 this last weekend?
Well, Nick Baker's not that guy. I don't know.
I mean, Valley quarterbacks again.
I had to.
Yeah, Kyler hates all Valley quarterbacks.
Clip it, you punks. I don't know. Southern Illinois, like you mentioned, Matt, I mean, they're an up-and-down type of program, especially the last few years. They have the talent to compete with anyone. I mean, you saw them go toe-to-toe with South Dakota State. They have the talent to compete with everyone, but what Saluki is going to show up? Is it the one that's going to be the finish line, really fast Saluki, or is it going to be one that has 3 legs like my dog? I am not sure which Saluki is going to show up. I think it's going to be a good battle, though. I mean, it's at the Fargo Dome, right?
It is in Fargo, yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I won't pick this one yet unless we're doing it at the end.
Yep. But I got to hold you off. Don't pick it yet.
Okay, fair enough. They have a shot. It just depends on what Nick Baker shows up, if he's that guy or not, and how's the defense going to hold on to NDSU?
Should be interesting to see. Guys, and Kyler, or actually, I'll take this one. Adam Peterson says, Matt, may I add a question? Just a quick hit. What are your thoughts on the 2-point conversion at the end of the Illinois State-Missouri State game? Catch or no catch? Catch, Adam. Definitely was a catch. Based off what I saw, based off the comments that were replying back on Facebook, I think it's a little controversial, but I think it's definitely a catch. So, Andrew Markham here, guys. What's been the best atmosphere each of you has visited and watched a game? Where have y'all found the most welcoming fan bases? This is a good one here. Thinking about big environments. What do you think there, Kyler? What's the best environment you've watched a game in? Keep it in the FCS if you can.
Sucker. Now I got to give credit. By far, Montana. Watching the game at Wild Grizz for an FCS environment was the best environment I've been to for sure. Now, this says also what's the most welcoming one. Now, I also got a beer can thrown at me, so it's not Montana. But environment was fantastic. Just, you know, dip bag fans. You know what? For a welcoming fan base, Sam Houston treated me pretty damn good every single time I went there. They were pretty dang welcoming. So was NAU.
you actually have some legitimate spots that you've been to, Kyler. I, because I've always said since we've done this podcast, with my kids' current ages, I don't travel to a lot of games. Like, it was awesome coming down here for Incarnate Word. So hate on me all you want. Ron's with me here. During the times of sellouts and the playoff semifinals of the NDSU reign, that atmosphere on a Friday night was insane. So I'm gonna be biased on that one. Jamie, what do you think? Best environment you've been to? Most welcoming fans? Best fans I've interacted with in Frisco were Montana State. They were super kind. I really liked enjoying talking to the people. I hear opposite about the Grizz fans. Sorry, Grizz fans, but Montana State fans were super cool. So,
yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, you got to remember, I was in the CAA, so if I can't say JMU, I'm not going to pick any of those teams because other than Delaware, their atmosphere is not so good. So it's got to be some Frisco time. I mean, well, you're right. The Montana State fans and NDSU fans, SDSU fans, they've all been great. The only fans when I've been to Frisco that were not good were Youngstown State fans. And I don't know if that's a staple of their fan base, but I didn't have good interactions with them. But everybody else has been great. But I would definitely have to say, yeah, you know, let me go back. Norfolk State was a good atmosphere, except it was raining. Beautiful campus, good atmosphere. But I didn't get the full effect. Didn't get their band there because we played a quarter. So had to think about that real quick. But, yeah, other than you know, Frisco, I'd say all the fans have been great. I've really enjoyed it. That's why I keep going back. I'd love to go to one where it isn't a Dakota State playing in one, either one.
And I want to change my answer because, you know what, I'm looking at the Revs saying Sam Houston hit me up for bail money, and that is true. The prison there, they hit me up for bail money. I had to pay it out. But you know who didn't hit me up for bail money? The Rev at the Battle of Piney Wood down at, you know, NRG Stadium. We were in suites. Everyone took absolute care of me. I went to a Sam Houston suite. I went to an SFA suite. So if we're talking about, you know, who took the most care of me, gave me food, gave me alcohol, and it was a good environment, actually, it was both Sam Houston and SFA.
That's awesome.
That was you at the Spring Natty, wasn't it? Taking care of everybody with the beer and whatnot.
We don't like to mention that.
And for me, Incarnate Word, I gotta give a shout out again for this weekend, guys. They were I mean, when the athletic director is just talking to you and you meet the Southland commissioner, he was great. They were super appreciative of what we do on our platform, and then just so much kindness from those Incarnate Word folks. Fun fans, good atmosphere, players were great. So big shout out to the Word. All right, last two here in the quick hits, guys. If you're an unseeded NDSU or SIU team, would you rather be on the side of the bracket that would travel to both Idaho and MSU Grizz or one trip to SDSU? I got to say, the way SIU played SDSU the first time, if I'm SIU, I want to go back to Brookings and be like, listen, man, we almost had them last time. Let's give them another shot. And this is going to sound crazy, but I think NDSU will get murdered at Montana, like the Grizz or Montana State. Or Brookings. So send me to Brookings. I never thought I'd say this. Send us to Brookings for the third time in 365 days. Just maybe there's a mental edge there to be like, it's hard to beat a team three times within a year. I don't think NDSU would win, but if I had to pick one, there you go. Last one, guys. Andrew Markham, what's your favorite childhood movie and go-to snack during a movie? Ooh, nice little personal question here, Andrew, to end the quick hit questions. I like the original OG Game Changers tie ball game between Toy Story and The Lion King right there. Powerhouses. And I'm eating popcorn every single time. Kyler, favorite childhood movie, snack during a movie.
How old are we in this childhood?
I mean, like let's go with you're at Disney, you see the people walking up in the costumes and you go, that's like,
so now I have to like Disney.
I'm pretty sure that that person is real. Like, that's the real thing. Like, if you're at the age where you're like, it's not real, like, we're going childhood movie.
Man.
Back in the day. OG feels.
I got three, probably. It's a different time than my childhood. Number one, Land Before Time.
Loved
that movie. It's so great. You know, I would get a tattoo, my full sleeve of Land Before Time. I don't care. But also, maybe you're going to see a little bit of a theme. Second one, Jurassic Park. you know, maybe this nerd likes dinosaurs.
You had think fun of that? Parents. You had fun
and parents. Then Lion King. Yeah, those were my three favorite movies of all time.
Lion King is OG. Jamie, take us back to when I guess they were about to get color TV, right? When you were, you know, hopping into the cartoon era. What's the childhood movies? And oh, and the snack. Kyler, you didn't say your snack.
Right? Oh, popcorn. All day. Yeah.
OG. All right, Jamie, what do you got?
Yeah, popcorn all day, every day. I'm going to make you, both of your jaws drop. I've never seen The Lion King.
Jamie Williams.
I've
heard all the songs.
Hey, where's the FCS Fans Nation guys here in Frisco? They're supposed to be in Rainbow Road. Yeah, they're forcing Jamie to watch Lion King, like, at kickoff.
That's right.
They're making him watch it.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, never seen it. My wife always... I've also never seen Titanic, by the way. So, back to the movies.
Boobies. That was the first boobies I saw. Sorry, this is a PG show.
That was our Bird and Bees teacher for Kyler and I.
Rev nailed one with Mighty Ducks. Kyler nailed one with Jurassic Park. I also love Gremlins because that came out in like 1984 before both of y'all were born. But Gremlins was awesome because Gizmo was cool. Let's see, what else? Benji. If you ever saw Benji, that was solid. Turner and Hooch. See, I'm not a big... cartoon animated most of the time. I've watched a bunch of them, but from a movie standpoint, those would be some of mine as a kid. Of course, Jurassic Park came out when I was a teenager, so it doesn't really count.
that's a top five movie of mine, as is Titanic, Jamie Williams. We'll get you changed on that.
I will never watch Titanic. Lee Turnbrough's damn right, too. Of course, I was a teenager when that came out, too.
Same, that's good.
Watch Titanic in reverse. It's awesome. It's about...
I used to dream about drowning when I watched The End Lot. I was so happy to drown.
My favorite movie of all time is A Time to Kill.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's...
I wasn't born in the 60s. I don't know.
That's well done. I like those old school movies. A Time to Kill is a good one.
Is that black and white?
No.
It can be.
I mean, it's about black and white.
Yeah, it is. Okay. It's a great movie. Great movie. Actually, all high schoolers should watch it. But now we're going down a different road. All right, guys, we're going to get into the futuristic time where you can actually compete against robots for predictions.
There is no way these guys can predict football games better than me. I am the Mighty versus Sports Simulator.
Boy, here we go. Time. We got a few games here. I think you guys are going to like my selections. Going to get them pulled up here for you. The Versus Sports Simulator, of course, is one of our two sponsors. We super appreciate them sponsoring our show. They give you just the best ways to go look at games and make predictions. That being said, we start with one of our three predictions here with North Dakota taking on South Dakota. UND traveling away from the Alaris Center. They've had some struggles the past few weeks. According to the Versus Sports Simulator, it's about a 6.5-point game. How you feeling about this one, Jamie? North Dakota going to South Dakota, over under 6.5.
Yeah, I just like the way that South Dakota's played this year. So I think they probably take that one by 10-plus points.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of easy to pick against UND when they're traveling away. That has been kind of a staple of who they are. So, Kyler, you're going to get the last one because I'm picking this one. Lamar and Nicholls State, it's an interesting game because it certainly matters. Lamar is not out of that Southland title. They need a little bit of help. And Incarnate Word's going to really be hoping Lamar wins this game to put them back in the driver's seat for the auto bid. Nicholls at home is favored by 13.5 points over Lamar. Based off what I saw in Nicholls, Lamar, when I looked him up, 56 in total defense, they're 84th in rush defense and 83rd in passing offense. The reason I think those matter is Nicholls can run that dang ball, and that O-line can really make some waves up in the middle. I do not see Lamar stopping Nicholls from controlling that time of possession. And 83rd passing offense, those corners and that secondary is good for Nicholls. So you better be able to run the ball all day, every day, Lamar, and that's not really one of your strong suits. So I'll take Nicholls in the points. Give me a 17-point win over Lamar. Kyler Neal, here you go. Southern Illinois to North Dakota State. This is the one you were thinking about earlier. 5.5-point game, according to the Versus Sports Simulator. Only 35 points total. SIU at NDSU. What do you think for a prediction?
I think it's going to be over the total points. I don't like that 35 points for some reason. I don't know, because Matt, you got me all in my feelings saying you were super confident in this game. literally, I was gonna because we look at all these prior, and I was like, you know what, maybe I'll lean towards Southern Illinois. And then you said you're super confident, and this is after, you know, the shittiest season you've endured as a fan since you've been married.
This would be the one. If they lose this one, I'd be like, the locker room is lost. Like that, I would truly feel like it. The locker room is gone, because then it means they didn't rally, they didn't have a good week, and they couldn't get up after getting destroyed. So that it gives me confidence that they're not that far gone, if that makes sense.
Just a few years ago, the Slukies killed you guys, right?
Shout out Stone Lebanowitz.
Yes, they did. That was the spring season. It was an annihilation.
Yep. Yeah. Man, I am pulling for the Slukies so hard this week. this helmet is going to be on my head all week. Go Slukies.
Don't tell us that.
shout out Jeremiah Rash, of course. What do you think, Tyler?
Yeah, I think I gotta pick NDSU right now, just because you were so damn confident and you kind of changed my mind.
I pulled a sales move on you. We'll have to see how it plays out. That should be a good game. I think it is going to be that close, definitely. So shout out Jeremiah Rash, an absolute amazing, amazing fan of ours. So that being said, guys, that does bring us to the end of the FCS Fans Nation podcast, a live episode that we pulled off tonight. Didn't really have any bumps or hiccups, and we super appreciate still over 70 viewers, guys. 10, 12 at night where Jamie's at, 9 o'clock here in our central time in Texas, Kyler. And dang, really pulled off a really fun episode. Next week, guys, it's the big one. It is my favorite episode that we do. Hands down, it will be the mock playoff special. The purpose is not for us to make the most accurate predictions of who's in and out. It's to learn the teams that you should be paying attention for on Selection Sunday, and how will the committee think, and how will the committee utilize their criteria to make the selections for seeds. We'll predict all the last week's games. We will have every single team laid out. We will make seeds. We will do at-larges. So make sure that you join us live for that one. And of course, you can catch it the week after if we don't. I must be missing some sort of comment here, because Kyler and Jamie are losing it in the background.
That's ridiculous.
I'm just reading Kevin's last comment.
No, Kevin's too.
Kevin, we'll leave that, since it's not live and we can't edit. We'll leave that one for the page, I guess. That being said, we appreciate you guys all joining us. Thank you to our sponsors, Walk On Apparel and the Versus Sports Simulator. We truly appreciate everybody's support. There's no way we could do this without you guys. Make sure you tune in live next Sunday night to catch the edition of the FCS Fans Nation podcast. For now, enjoy another great week. We'll see if there's more chaos in the future, and we'll catch you guys on the next one. Boom.
Thank you for listening to the FCS Fans Nation podcast. Make sure to like and subscribe to this podcast on your preferred listening platform, whether it's Apple, Spotify, Google, or even YouTube. And make sure to follow our FCS Fans Nation social media pages on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thank you for listening to the premier podcast for FCS football. Boom.